Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button to edge God in to your words, thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. Our mission statement here at Edge God In is to champion human potential in Christ, to champion your human potential in Christ. Today's topic is freedom. The title is Freedom in Christ. What does that look like for me? What does that look like for you? The learning objective is to understand what it means for you to experience and live out freedom in Christ and to take action steps forward to lean into Christ's strength, wisdom, and guidance as you move forward. I'm joined today again, very blessed by the presence of Judy Kinnebrew. Judy, thank you for joining us today. So grateful for this topic, this conversation that we're going to have today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, this is a good one today. And coming up on the 4th, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, what topic do you want to speak about? There was no lag time, freedom in me. And so we're going to take a deeper dive into the scriptures today. If you have your Bibles, pull them out so that you can flip along with us. If not, no worries. If you're driving in your car, the scriptures will be posted at edgegodin.com along with a one sheet to help you capture your learning. As with all of our podcasts, I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, just pause for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? I'm tuning into this podcast today. And I have an eager expectation that there's something for me, Lord, to help me to lean more into your freedom and out of bondage, out of slavery, the yoke of slavery. And we're going to talk about what that yoke of slavery is. One of our foundational verses at Edge God In is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. If you notice in that verse, there's actually a choice point. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow. That those two words, don't allow, means that you do have a choice to allow. Yes. So to be free or not to be free, the choice is yours and makes all the difference in the outcomes you will experience. We have that choice point day in and day out. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, we are nothing without you. We have a slavery mindset. We are sinking. We have attached ourselves to the shiny objects, to positionalities, to fixed mindsets that are driving our ship. So much so that we've been hijacked. So much so that if we were to step off the stage of drama for a moment and ask ourselves the question, does my behavior reflect the mercy and love of Christ? Does my mindset reflect the mercy and love of Christ? Do I think and meditate on the things of Christ, what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy in your sight, Lord, more than I think about the chaos that surrounds me? Do I spend more time in the castle, Lord, pulling up the drawbridge, opening up every room and every window in my interior castle to you as being sovereign? Or have I locked up certain rooms and I'm gripping like Gollum in the cave to the key because I feel that there's a part of me. Who will I be if I let this go? Who will I be, Lord, if I don't think this way, act this way, believe this thing? Save us, Lord. Save us from ourselves, our positionalities, our judgments, our greed, our looking back rather than forward, identifying ourselves with past pain versus the confident expectation that we are a thing now moving forward. No one, Jesus said, anyone who puts their hand to plow worthy to follow you. Give us grace to shift our vision, transform our mind, Lord. Help us to landscape between our two ears. Help us to give up our positionality so that we can camp on your positionality of love and mercy. Save us, Lord. And we give you permission, God, to convict our hearts. Wake us up in the middle of the night if we are hijacked by anything that is not of you. May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are a rock and our redeemer. We love you, Lord. So let's jump in. Judy, are you there?
I am.
Great. So we're gonna start this conversation. Judy and I actually spoke for about a half an hour before jumping on. Had a very rich conversation. So this is going to be a continued podcast conversation, perhaps one, or at least two, if not three conversations on the topic of freedom. What keeps us in bondage? A few things off the top of some meditation I've done in the scriptures: greed, judgment, looking back, identifying ourselves with the past, specifically focusing on Paul's invitation in Philippians 3, 12 through 13, when he says, actively press on. I actively press on. That's a verb. I actively press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. One thing I do, one thing I do, forget what is behind, press on to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call through Christ Jesus. All of us, he says, who are mature should have this attitude. What attitude? What is this attitude, Judy?
I think as we were talking about just a short time ago, in even Galatians 5:1, that scripture that keeps coming forth, I was reading some commentary on it, and it questions, why did Christ set them free, the Galatians? And it's so that they could be free spiritually. Spiritual freedom is deliverance from the power and bondage of sin so that we can serve the living God as well as his people. And he defines this freedom as freedom from legalism and the control of the flesh, so that we can experience the substitutionary resurrected life of Christ. But the simplicity of it is, it's living a thank you life and a want to life, which is relationship, rather than a have to life, which is law. And I think that simplicity kind of puts it forward for us, that we are in the have to life of legalism. We look at everything from the lens of have to, as opposed to walking into the experience, the fullness of Christ that offers us this opportunity to just be grateful in love and walk in that gratefulness, as well as wanting him, going after him, being like David, going after the heart of Christ, that our focus is so much on what we have to do. We don't realize how legalistic that is. And so when those things are removed, just like the season we're in right now, what COVID has done for us, when that is removed, our have to, it's hard for us to find forward. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to find gratefulness at the opportunity in this time. It's hard for us to shift from have to want to.
Mm. It's very, very powerful. And leaning into the scriptures that go along with what you're sharing, Judy, as is our answer, we lean into, okay, what is the character of God here in the midst of this forced pause, in the midst of chaotic events? What is God's response to this type of stuff that's going on? Not his first rodeo, just saying. When we go back to Exodus and the people were enslaved by Pharaoh, the previous two podcasts, I encourage listeners to check out the previous podcast before this one, the last two podcasts, we spoke about deliverance. What does that look like? And now we're taking the freedom mindset versus the slavery mindset from Exodus. And when you look in Exodus chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, Moses was complaining once again, because this is the first send out. When God sends you out, oftentimes, as Jesus said, hey guys, listen, do not be shocked. It's no shocker to God. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you when you stand for what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. If you doubt this, stand in Christ, stand in love, stand in mercy, stand on the scriptures, and watch. Don't lose heart, though, because in this world we will have trouble, and Christ has overcome the world. Back in Moses' time, God appeared to him in the burning bush. That's that holy fire. It didn't consume the bush, but it was in the bush. He encountered God. He heard God. He saw God's voice. God gave him three specific start-off miracles that were beyond physics, turning a staff into a snake, pouring water onto the ground, having it turn into blood, and putting your hand in the cloak, pulling it out, and all of a sudden it's leprous, and then you put it back in, and all of a sudden it's fine. He saw the wonders of God, and yet he still had a butt. He needed a butt reduction. Yes. Do you need a butt reduction? But. We see it in 5:22. He sends him out. Finally, Moses, after he complained about his stutter issue, he was slow in speech, and he said, okay, I'll send Aaron, your brother. He set him up. The character of God here, when you read through the book of Exodus, notice the faithfulness of God. He meets us in our weakness. He provides resources to shore up our weaknesses. When he has a calling on your life, have confidence in this one thing. You will never be lacking in resources on what you need to move forward to glorify God. Never be lacking in resources. So still, even after, so Moses finally doubled down and got the courage to approach Pharaoh, and in verse, and Pharaoh didn't respond to him, and actually he made things worse. The slavery got worse for the people before it got better. And he took away the hay. Have you ever made bricks without hay? I never have. I can't even imagine what that must be like. And so he doubled down on the work. They still had the same expectation to deliver the same amount of bricks without hay, so they didn't have the resources. Moses, this really affected his faith. What is affecting your faith today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is resulting in doubt, in self-doubt, that is resulting in below-the-line, lights-off behavior, anger, frustration, rage, hatred, dissension, an unhealthy interest in arguments, defending, taking offense? This is the playground of Satan. He is the great accuser and the great confuser. So back then, Moses came back and complained. He doubted because things got worse. Moses questioned again in verse 22, why did you send me? Things only got worse. So perhaps you have a statement today. What would your statement be to God today? In light of everything that's going around you today, what's your complaint? Moses had no problem bringing it before God. We have a big God. When I was going through advanced cancer and they gave me 5 years to live back in 2006 with three young children, 1 week prior to my final divorce court date, you can be sure I did a lot of complaining. When I lost my hair, my breasts, my marriage, my positive attitude, spiritually destitute, I did some complaining. And I can assure you from walking through the eye of the storm, God is faithful. Don't lock up your conversation by making a conclusion based on an impoverished view of reality. Be bold. Is there anything I'm missing, Lord, that can create a fuller model of reality so that I can see things as you see them? How would Jesus see things today in your life? Show me what that would look like, feel like, and sound like. Judy, you sent me something that was really powerful, speaking about the Israelites. That link on...
Yeah, it's on Bible Tools, I think it is.
I mean, that was some powerful stuff on freedom and the theme of freedom.
And it just really, when you were talking, there were some things that were screaming at me, and one that I just don't want to forget to say. I don't know that, you know, freedom is, as we talk about Galatians, is just so packed when it comes to that thought about freedom. But in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, you, my brothers, were called to be free. And to just marinate on that a minute, you are called to be free. So to possess and cuddle and hug this mentality of slavery or being a prisoner of sin, when you're called to be free, and as you said much earlier, that means that you're making a choice to remain in what is behind us. And you're making a choice not to move forward. And how that speaks to us today is as we try to think about normal, the way we defined it before, is gone. And it's a great thing, because even in that normal, we were prisoners of sin. And we have this reset opportunity to check ourselves and challenge ourselves and look at the command to be free. And it should be very exciting.
Absolutely.
Should be very exciting for us.
God says in Exodus 6:6, after Moses complained, God said to Moses, he doesn't even address his complaint. That's what I just love about it. You know, Jesus, bring everything before the Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We serve a big God. There's no shocker to him. Your attitude, your mindset, your behavior, what you're ruminating on. There's singulate fixation that occurs when you're catastrophizing. You'll use language, nothing, nobody, everyone. Those are universal quantifying statements that actually imprison the mind. Nothing works out. No one ever listens to me. This has never been good. Those statements actually imprison the mind. Satan's masterful at planting a seed between the two ears that creates a battlefield. It is a battleground. And we do have a choice. We always have a choice. Do we choose to give free rent to the negative thinking, to the negative thought? Just because it's planted there doesn't mean we need to think it. Follow Jesus' lead on this in Luke chapter 4. Lean into and really see how he rebuked the devil's plants. That's the best lead we can follow right now. In the desert for 40 days in preparation, I believe, to die to the flesh as an example. Die to the flesh. my need to be right, liked, understood, my positionality, anything that is mine, I die to so that it can be the Lord's through me. Because his eyes search the whole world right now, looking for a willing soul to be used to be his ambassador for mercy, love, forgiveness, and freedom. Is that person you? God said in Exodus 6:6, I will free you from your bondage. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will free you from your bondage? You will know if you believe by looking at your behavior. There was only one leper that turned back. Jesus said, go show yourself. Go show yourself at the temple. And on their way, they were healed. It wasn't instant. They were obedient. The archway that freedom is birthed within our soul is obedience to God. The Israelites were set free, not so they can pursue the golden calf. They were set free so that they could serve the Lord. Their whole society was about God's deliverance. That was the deliverance in Exodus. There's a liberation that occurs, a deliverance from slavery. God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you. Remember, remember, you are free. Are you forgetting that you are free? And going back to the verse, Exodus 6:6, I will free you from your bondage. Again, this is a powerful question for us today. Do you believe that? Moses falls back into self-doubt in verse 12, even after hearing, this is the tendency of the sin in within our concupiscence, which is the tendency, the concupiscence means the tendency to sin. We're beginning again 100 times a day. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can begin again 100 times a day. Help us to return quicker today than yesterday when we start following the golden calf and our behavior goes ugly. I will free you from your bondage. Verse 12, Moses falls back to self-doubt. And he says in verse 12, hey, listen, I have a stuttering problem. it's not over with. Again, after God lays out his plan, the mindset of slavery is what leads Moses' words. I can't do this, God, because... How would you fill that statement out? I can't do this, God, because of this. I can't release because of this. I can't move forward because of this. I can't love because of this. I can't offer grace and mercy and empathy because of this.
You know what, Lauren? I think in regard to that, it is because we don't keep our mind stayed on the Lord, because we can't do it. It's absolutely true that we can't do this. And then it becomes untrue when we keep our eyes focused on the Lord and recognize that we're depending on his strength to be able to do that. And that dependence on that will always offer us the opportunity for him to use us in his strength. So we don't have to be concerned about the stutter. He knows that the stutter is there. We were talking about that earlier. We're telling him like he doesn't know.
That is so true. No shocker to God. Yeah. You know,
and yet we have to trust him. It really exhibits our lack of trust, our lack of belief that what he is telling us is true and that he is faithful. And that he will show up in our weakness. We just, you know, like Peter walked out on the water and, you know, and it was like, really? I'm walking on the water?
That's that active pursuit. That's what Paul's talking about. Actively press on to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of you for.
Yes.
What's Jesus asking you to do today, my brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you taken time to sit in silence before the Lord? Read through the Gospels. Read the red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, the red letters are every word that Jesus spoke. What's he asking you to do? Not what your neighbor's doing or what people say you should do. What is the Lord asking you to do? And actively pursue, as Paul says, to take a hold of that which Christ took hold of you for. I find it really interesting in Philippians 1, 12 through 13, that Paul says, one thing I do. Because in the midst of chaos, the brain will follow the shiny object. We all become having an episodic event of ADD. We'll follow this and that and this and that. And Jesus brings us back in. Gently, come back. Come back. There's one thing. One thing. There's only one thing that counts. Faith expressing itself through love. And expressing is a behavior. Does your faith express itself through love? If so, take a moment and write down the behaviors that other people were able to witness over the last 24 hours that give witness to that one thing. The only thing that counts right now, my brothers and sisters, the only thing that counts, when I get confused and not sure what to do, that verse will bubble up again. The only thing that counts, Lauren, this is your post. Stay here. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Do I have faith that God will deliver? Do I have faith that he will deliver me from bondage? When I was going through the cancer, they found more cancer and more cancer. Statistically speaking, I shouldn't be here. From the world's point of view of what they know about cancer and the aggressive form that I had, and I'm here. How do you explain that? God is sovereign. God will take everything and weave it together for an ultimate good, beyond what eye can see, ear can hear, heart can understand. Do we believe this? We know we do when we can look back. And that's why having a reflection at the end of every day, dear God, how did my behavior make you recognizable today? That one thing, my faith expressed through love, the only thing that counts. The other one thing that Paul says, I actively press on, so leaving what is behind. I was sharing with Judy, I have a lot of shame and guilt going through divorce. No one in my family is divorced. I felt like the black sheep. I was tormented by this. Tormented by the thought that my children would be scarred for life because they're watching their mom fight for her life and go through divorce. The restoration of God, my brothers and sisters, and I'm emotional about this, is profound. The only thing that holds it back is lack of faith and trust. That is the only thing that holds back the mighty hand of God. Do you believe he is just? Do you believe that he releases from bondage? That he's doing a new thing in your life? Do you believe? According to your belief, it shall be done.
Yes. According to your belief.
There were 9 plagues. Pharaoh's heart was hardened again and again. The only time that it softened was when the outer pressures of his environment that he was experiencing whether it be frogs, lice, blood-sucking insects, plagues on the livestock, skin boils, hail, locusts, dark nights, so dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face for 3 nights, or the death of the firstborn, Passover. That was the only thing that would soften the heart of Pharaoh when conditions got so bad, he fell to his knees. What is it going to take for us to fall to our knees in humility? You have my attention, Lord. What do you want me to do in this situation? What word do you want me to speak? You have my attention. And then it says that once relief came, and Paul talks about this as well, once relief came, then amnesia sets in.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Wait, what? No, you guys are not leaving Egypt. There's no way I'm doing that. But when the circumstances stripped him of his power, his heart was softened enough to say, I have sinned. You guys can leave. When relief came, the hardening of the heart took place again. This is why Paul can say with much confidence, and I leaned into this so many times, consider yourself fortunate, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when any trial comes your way, any trial that comes your way, for if by faith, you succeed in these trials, faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in Christ's victory. Faith that God has your back, that this is God's. And if there's some small part that he desires for you to play, you can be sure of this, my brothers and sisters in Christ, he will let you know. If you are attentive, if you are sitting before him, squatting, as you say, Judy, in the word, listening, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I will not speak one word. I will not act on anything I see or hear. I will not respond to anything outside of me unless you give me a word, Lord. I will not move out. I will follow that cloud by day and the fire at night. You lead me on. What keeps us in bondage?
No, Lauren. I was reading something this morning that just kept talking about that. I don't know that we do it intentionally, but that we're constantly ignoring and denying what God has provided and what he has promised us. And when we keep doing that, when you ask the question, what will it take? When we keep ignoring or denying the promises of God, or what his death on the cross meant, we lose our ability to discern the realms of the Holy Spirit. And then we, you know, it just, we keep losing something. You know, it's sort of like whatever muscle you build, whatever muscle you choose, or where you choose to put your focus is what grows. And normally where you're putting your mind are spiritual falsehoods. Hmm. Because when you're not moving toward the love of God or imaging the love of God, then you can't be in the middle. So you're either going one way or not.
You got it. Revelations, hot or cold. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth.
So I think we have to realize the seriousness of it. Hmm. That freedom, you know, I called you to be free. And when you're not walking in that freedom, clearly you're buying into the lies of the enemy. Because there is no middle. And so the lies themselves rob your heart of its ability to dream or to get more intimate in your relationship with the Lord, because you keep going back instead of going forward in freedom as he has called you. I think there is also this level of perfection that we expect of ourselves that we are not capable of doing for ourselves. So it's like, how do I get to walk in freedom when I'm a sinner? And we grasp a hold of that sin and forget or have not received that the Lord paid for all of that so that he could command us to be free. And I just think in some terms, we just can't believe it. How could it be that good?
Yeah. We were talking about that, Judy. Just the sense, there was, if you haven't seen the movie Paul, Jim Crivelli, the same actor that played Jesus in The Passion plays Luke in the movie Paul. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen that movie, to see it. One particular scene I really resonated with when Paul was in prison and he had a dream, a nightmare of all the faces of the people that he had persecuted and killed and been a part of, actually killing Christians before Christ grabbed a hold of him. And he woke up just shaking from this dream. And Satan would have us stay in the past and small, very small in the past. Jesus is doing a new thing. Can't you see? Can't you see? I'm doing a new thing now. Now it even springs forth within you. Springs of living water flow from within you and flow out of you. What is flowing in you and what is flowing out of you these days? But the one scene, he woke up and he started saying, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. That is such a powerful little mantra to say. When things outside of you are chaotic, your grace is sufficient. Your wisdom is sufficient. Your judgments are sufficient. Your judgments are sufficient, Lord. Do we really believe that God's in charge here? I remember weeping one time before getting the double mastectomy because it was just the reality of the cancer, losing a part of my body like that was pretty traumatic. And God sent a surgeon, I didn't know this, that was a believer. And so as I was weeping, sitting on the chair in such a vulnerable position with just the little cloak that they put on you, and I was crying just hysterically. I lost it at certain points, and this was one of them. And she got right up in my face and she said, Hey. She was trying to snap me out of me identifying with the struggle. I had literally been hijacked in that moment, thinking that I was the diagnosis, that death was imminent. I had been hijacked by an exterior circumstance. And in that moment, my behavior was following suit. I was breaking down and I was sobbing uncontrollably. And God sent this surgeon to get up in my face and to say, hey, snap out of it. I remember she was right up in my face and she even kind of tapped my cheek. Snap out of it. She said one thing that shifted my entire trajectory. I think we both know who's in charge here. I think we both know who's in charge here. And she called me that night to continue that conversation. Are you giving more authority to the diagnosis, to the circumstance, to the situation? Or are you giving more authority to the one who is in charge, to the one who the wind and the rain still know his name? By one command, they're silenced. The definition of renewable is to be able to give out energy, to expend energy without depleting the source. How are we not depleted by all of this? By connecting to the source. Now more than ever, I don't trust my mind, Judy. With the chaos that's around, surrounding us right now, I don't trust my mind. I know I'll be hijacked if I follow anything other than the Lord's words. So in any situation, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what action can you take to shore up and pull up the drawbridge, to come into the center of your castle inside where Christ sits on the throne, where you kneel at his feet and say, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do in this next hour? How do you want me to show up? What posturing do you want me to have? What intonation, facial expression? What word do you want me to say? So that I can give glory to your name, because I'm your ambassador, Lord. You've already got this covered. You are in charge here, and I forgot. Thank you that I can begin again. You are in charge here.
And you know, we have to do that daily.
Right, every morning.
Mm. See, I hear another voice that's coming in there. That's it's a choice, minute by minute, morning by morning. I do not trust my mind. That's where Satan will plant a thought, and it confuses and causes me to accuse myself, other people. And that's when I lose my post. I become my ambassador for me, making my appeal through me for me. This happens many times during the week. The question is, how quickly can we return? Dear God, help us to return quicker today than yesterday. Quicker today than yesterday. We give you permission to override us when we're clinging to an exterior situation, thinking that we need this in order to be saved, to be free. His blood was enough. That was the final plague. That was Passover. We've experienced the fullness of Passover. The lamb that was slain, not once did he open his mouth, because he knew who was in charge, and he knew that the outcome would far outweigh the momentary trials and tribulations. Consider yourself fortunate, my brothers and sisters in Christ. For if we do not lose heart, there will be a greater outcome that far outweighs the momentary suffering. We shrink back from suffering, but that's actually probably another podcast. It's the very thing that brought salvation into the world. Miraculous things happen in the eye of the storm if we're willing to participate. Judy, let's close up our conversation today. If you have any closing thoughts, or better yet, an action step that listeners can take based on our learning objective, a specific action step to help us move forward in Christ's strength, wisdom, and guidance versus the world's or our own. What would that look like?
I think it might be as simple as declaring your grace is sufficient. That being able to make that statement over and over and over again, there is something about affirming that out loud. And as we affirm that out loud, it enables us to believe it, really embrace it, and receive it in our spirit. And so to be able to say that, even if we don't believe it the first time we say it, the more we believe it, the more we write it down, it then enables us to embrace it and receive the grace that has been given to us. And it is enough.
His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect through our weaknesses. That is truth, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can build our house on, a firm foundation. So when the wind comes and the rain blows, our house won't crumble. His grace is sufficient. I'm just going to read through 10 scriptures on freedom here. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 1 Corinthians 6:12, everything is permissible for me. Not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me. But I will not be mastered by anything. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Ephesians 3:12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Psalm 119:45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. That's that invitation for action. Seek out his precepts. Read the holy word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to make it come alive in your behavior. Galatians 5:13 through 14, you, my brothers, were called to freedom, to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, remember, the Israelites were set free, what? To serve God. We forget this. I forget this. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the results, eternal life. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men and women. But do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. What happens when we're using our freedom to cover up for evil? That's when we've been hijacked by the exterior world. Live as servants of God. Judy, can you close us in prayer? And we'll continue this conversation in another podcast. It is so rich. And the freedom aspect of what that really looks for us right now is essential for our effectiveness for the Lord moving forward.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have commanded us to be free, free in you, Lord. Help us to receive that freedom, the freedom that has already been given to us and done through your death on Calvary, Lord. Lord, increase our wisdom. Increase our wisdom. Help us thirst for the knowledge of what is it that you paid for with your life. Lord, keep us from going backwards. Help us to receive this freedom that we have. Help us to know that a sinful life is not a better life. What we had before is not better. That freedom only comes in you. Yes. Lord, help us to grasp that freedom only comes in you, and that your grace, your unmerited favor, is sufficient. And the plans that you have for us give us a hope and a future. And it is exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Amen. Help us to stop thinking that our sinful nature can give us better. Mm. Help us to stop thinking that we're going to lose something by being free in you, Lord. Remove the scales from our eyes that we can see your mercy and your hand every day from our post, showing us that you are God, you love us, and there are no limits to what you can do. That you own everything and you created everything. And certainly, certainly, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life when we keep our eyes stayed on you. Mm. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm just standing up right now. Amen, sister. Lord have mercy. Help us to have that grace to do that one thing, faith expressing itself through love all day long. Oftentimes, a question pops up. And this question popped up for me quite a bit during the 5 years of treatment, intense treatment. Who will I be if I let this go? Who will you be if you let this go? The answer that came up for me, and the Lord will guide you into this, perhaps it will be unique, which oftentimes it is for you. From my experience, who will I be if I let this go? More available for God to use for his purposes, for his glory. Letting go is the process that we create more room for God to fill for his glory within us. Bring it before the Lord. Bring it before the Lord. We look forward to continuing this conversation on freedom. Give him heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. May God use our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions for his glory, not ours, for his glory. Thank you for joining us, my brothers and sisters in Christ. For more podcasts, visit us at edgegodin.com, where we are committed to championing your human potential in Christ for his glory. Judy, thank you so much for showing up today and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to give a message of hope and confidence and freedom today.